Praise God, we've got Daniel speaking today. I think that's wonderful. I love to see the young people up and active and going for it in God. We're with you all the way, Daniel. We're rooting for you. We're on fire. We're going wherever God's taking us today. Father, we thank you for your servant who's bringing your word this afternoon. And Holy Spirit, we just say, empower him and let that word come forth with mighty power and anointing. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise God.
Well, hello everyone. How's everyone doing today? Good. Everyone great? All relaxed, blessed, spirit-filled? Amen. I had a bit of an accident last week. I was in gym, and I was in steam room. So what happened was, I walked into the steam room, not knowing the floor was very slippery. So as I walked in, I just slipped over, and I landed perfectly. I mean, like, it was just a perfect landing. I just landed so perfectly that I just woke up, and I was like, God, I thank you, because like, it could have ended up wrong way. I could have ended up hitting my head on one of the curbs, both head split or whatever. Then I don't know if I'd be standing here or anything. So it was just one of them God moments. I just knew that it was God who protected me, and I just knew that I had to thank him there and then. I got up, I thanked him. Everybody in steam room was laughing, but I was like, I don't care. I was a bit embarrassed, to be honest, but I just got up, shook myself up, and just thanked God. Last Friday, it's been great. Martin and myself, we were in Teen Challenge, helping Ken, and we had fantastic conversations. There was this one guy called Brian, and Martin particularly got his attention, and he was opening up quite a lot to Martin. He was a very chatty guy. He wouldn't stop. Like, once you get him going, he's like, my days, are we going to get time to speak back to you now, mate? He was just, like, giving it all. And as he was, like, speaking with Martin, and Martin wasn't saying much, but he was just, like, dropping solid comments. He was giving his opinions. He was pouring out his heart, Brian, and Martin would just, like, drop a solid little, advice. And he just think about it, and by the end of conversation, I could just see this guy beginning to well up a bit and beginning to get emotional and everything. And I really do believe that something of God was implanted into his life that night. It was just one of the moments, like, Martin started praying for this guy, and I was just looking at his face. And as Martin started praying for this guy, this guy's eyes were open, both of them. And as we got deep into prayer, he just had his eyes shut. And we said amen, and he still had his eyes shut. And he was just like, we could just see that God was moving in this guy's life. And there was another guy called Stephen, I think his name was. And this guy, like, he was a bit twitchy and everything. He must have been on drugs or something. He was very twitchy. And as he walked in, he wouldn't stop complaining about the pain that he's been getting around his shoulder. So he just walked in, he's like, he couldn't stop moving. So I just walked in just curiously and I asked him, is everything all right, mate? And he goes to me, yeah, it's just like, I just had an operation done a few weeks ago. And since then, my neck, it's just been playing up, and my shoulders, it's just really painful, he said. And I'm like, okay. So I start sharing about how God can heal people. And I started sharing about testimonies of past healings, how God had healed different people and everything. And started talking to him about Bible and all that. And I offered him a prayer. I said to him, can I pray for you? And he just looks at me. He goes, yeah, just pray for me. So I prayed for him. And I just prayed, oh God, I speak your healing over this man's life right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will just heal him. And I asked him, how are you feeling now? So he just like, he was like, all right, he says. And I'm like, that's not good enough. So I prayed for him again. And I asked him, how does he feel now? He's like, better. I'm like, stand up and move your neck. So he stood up and he moved his neck around. He's like, and you could just see that look in his face. He was shocked, wasn't he, Martin? He was proper shocked. He was like, I can't believe. He was shocked. And he just went, thank you to me. And before I could get any deep with that conversation, he just thanked me and he just left. And I was like, people, they want the healing, but they don't want to know the healer. Most of the times we chase after gifts of God. I want to be a healer for God. I want to be this for God. No, it's not what we do. It's what He does. He is the one who heals. He is the one who provides. He is the one who's got power, not us. What we see is God's move through His children. God's power moving through His children. Do you know, when I first got saved, that was in Teen Challenge, and I just had this passion and a desire to serve God. I just knew that God was calling me to ministry, and I just experienced God's love in my life and knowing what God had pulled me out from. I had the desire to let other people know what they are living in. I had that desire to pull them out from their old lifestyles and take them to what life with God can look like and what life with God is like. But the biggest fear for my own life was I used to doubt my lifestyle. I used to doubt that God could even use me. I used to doubt, and I used to question quite a lot, saying to myself, can God really use me? Can God really use us? And you might be in that position today where you're thinking to yourself, God, can you really use me after all that I've been through? And after all that I am living in right now, God, can you still use me? And I want to encourage each one of us today, yes, He can. Yes, He can. Moses in the Bible. If you look in the book of Exodus, you see how Moses ends up becoming a murderer. And he flees away from Egypt. And he's got a money tag on his head. He's got a money tag on his head. And regardless of his past, God calls him. God uses him. And what does he do? His response is confused. He's like, God, can you use me? God, can you use me? I'm not going back. But God uses him. Life of Paul. When we look at Paul, murderer, persecutor, all of that, he had it, he lived it. He was living a notorious life. But yet, when God called him, all of his past was wiped away. And most of the time, we seem to limit our ability with what we've experienced in past. And friends, it's not about our past. It isn't. If I was to dwell in my past today, I wouldn't be standing here today. If I was to dwell on my mindset thinking the way that I think, I wouldn't be standing here today. It's the grace of God. It is the love of God that changes us. It is the love of God that washes and cleanses our sin. Not that we have done. Paul says, let no man boast in himself, but let him boast in Christ. It's all about Him. It is all about Him. And most of the time we seem to determine our today by what we've done yesterday and determine our future by what had happened in the past. It's not about your past. Remind ourselves of what God delivered us out of. But let's not dwell in the past. Let's not let our past cripple our today and our future. Because it's very true. You know, sometimes we hold ourselves back because of what had happened to us in the past. What had happened to us in the past. But today God wants us to forget about our past and just press on. Just move forward. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to develop our gifts that is placed within us. And He wants to do that today. Most of the time we wait for it. I just loved it when Andrew was praying to Kamala, mind you, and Andrew was saying, do you believe that God can heal you? And she went, yes. When will He heal you? And she went, today. Today. When we get that mindset of, I want to change today. I want to make that change today. I'm not going to wait till tomorrow to change myself. I'm going to change today. I don't know if you've heard this song, Ronan Keith, Kitten, I think it's called, If Tomorrow Never Comes. No? If tomorrow never comes. But that's how it goes. And most of the time we live in a day of age where we've got New Year's resolution. Why wait for New Year's resolution where you can change your life today? Why wait for another year when you can begin to set that new goal in your life today? Why wait till Monday? Oh, I'm going to join gym. When do you want to join gym? Monday. Why wait for Monday when you can join gym today? Why wait? Why? There's no time for it. We can make that change today. And it's not through what we do ourselves, but it's by the Holy Spirit, and it's by Jesus Himself. So today, the title of my sermon, that was just an introduction, by the way. Yeah, I think I've picked up some bad habits from Andrew. The title of my sermon is Do Not Lose Heart, Together We Can. Do not lose heart, together we can. So if you've got your Bible with you, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Nepali ma chai 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 14 to 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 14 dekhi 18. This is what he says in NIV. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people, let me read that again, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen. I just love it when Grace gets excited and all that. So, most of the times, I'm guilty of this myself. We sort of set our expectation on what we see. We expect something before because we see it. But let's get to that place where we expect something before even seeing it. So when we come to church, we're expecting, God, I don't see your move in this place, but I'm expecting a move of yours in this place today. God, I don't see a change in my life today, but God, I am expecting a change in my life today. There's a difference. When you come with a heart of expectation, my goodness, your world changes. My world changed when I started expecting in my heart. I used to go to church, but I wasn't a Christian. I used to go to church because my mom, she used to go to church occasionally, and I went with her. And most of the time, when I used to go to church, it was just a normal meeting. Nothing would change. Walk in, walk out, sing song, sit down, listen to someone preach, yawn halfway through it, go out. It was just that. Nothing would change. It was like going to school and finishing your school and going home. It was still the same. Nothing changed. But when I grasped the heart of expectation, suddenly the penny just dropped. And as I began to go to churches expecting, I was getting filled. Isn't it true? You get filled when you expect. Over Christmas time, what's most of us that expect? Gifts. And because of our expectation, we get more and more excited when Christmas comes, don't we? Well, I know I'm getting something good of my parents. I know I'm getting good gifts. That's why I'm excited for Christmas. Same when over the weekdays, when we expect that God's going to meet with us and God's going to touch us, God's going to challenge us, refresh us. Oh my days, we look forward to weekends. Not just weekends, but we look forward to spending time with God every day. Therefore, Paul is writing, so we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but what is unseen. what is unseen, which is eternal. So I put 3 points. My first point is, regardless of the situation, stick with the truth. Regardless of the situation, stick with this truth. I just love it. There's a story in John 6 where Jesus is speaking and he's in a sense teaching to his disciples, not just 12 disciples, but there were loads of people listening to his sermon. And Jesus is preaching to them saying, I am the bread of life. And I am the bread of life that came from heaven. And people are listening to what Jesus is sharing. And in a sense, they're like, okay, this is good. But out of nowhere, Jesus is giving them strong teaching. And people are listening to teachings that they never used to before. They've never heard any teaching like this before. And what is their response? They begin to argue against each other, saying, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? And now he's claiming that he is the bread of life that came from heaven. It's not making sense. And what do people do? They start grumbling and they start just like not listening to Jesus. And Jesus, knowing what they're thinking of, says to them, why are you grumbling? And he says in verse 60, many of the disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? And most of the time, when we stick with the truth and when we stand on what we believe in, not everyone's going to like us. Because we're preaching the truth and not everyone's going to like us. When before I became a Christian, there were a few people in my life, and Andrew's one of those, and who used to speak truth into my life. And that moment, it offended me big time. I was like, you can't talk to me like that. Deep down inside, I was like, you can't talk to me like that. Because it was the truth. And sometimes, we like to get our ears tickled. And in a sense, like speaking from my own past experience, I'm the kind of guy where I would be really, really happy if people would just speak nice stuff about me. And I'd be more than happy if people would just go, oh, Danny, look at you. You're so great. You're marvelous. You're fantastic. Great. I would just love it. But no, sometimes, well, not just sometimes, most of the times we need the truth that will offend the life out of our living, that will shake us from our roots, and that will just wake us up. That will just wake us up. I needed that shaking in my life. And this is the result today. Because of that shaking that happened 4 years ago, I'm standing here today. And I'm sure most of us in here, because of the shaking that happened into your life years ago, you're sitting here today because you heard the truth that offended the lifestyle of the life you were living before. When you hear the truth, it will shake your life. When Jesus was speaking the truth, it offended most of the people that were listening to it. It offended their lifestyle. It offended the way they were behaving. It offended everything of them. So much so that it was just too much of a challenge. And as the story continues, we find in verse 66 of John 6, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Oh my days. No longer followed him. You do not want to leave me too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Can I just say, in our lives, not everyone's going to walk with us. Not everyone's going to walk with us. When I left Teen Challenge, one of the advices that was given to me was choose your friends wisely. And I can stand here today and I can say I haven't got that many friends that I connect closely with. I've got loads of friends, but my true friends are only few. My true friends are only through whom I share my heart with, whom I share my struggles with, and whom I open my heart to when they're sharing and giving me advice. And it is so important in our lives where we carefully choose our friends who we hang around with. Because who we hang around it with is what we become. If we're hanging around with lions, oh my days, come on, we'll be roaring. But if we hang around with foxes, we will be running. And if we hang around with chickens, yeah, I'll let you decide. It's very important who we hang around with. It's very, very important. And when we stand on what we believe in, not everyone's going to like us. But people are going to respect us where we stand. I just want to share this story of, Jim. So I was in gym this time, and again, as you would expect, this time it was sauna. this was in sauna. What happened was, I was just sitting there and just having a chit chat and just having a good time. Then this guy walks in, he sits down, and he's seen me before, like sharing the gospel with other people in the sauna. And as soon as he sits down, he's just like, he starts giving me all, saying, "Oh, you come here, you start Bible bashing people, you just brainwashing their heads and all that." And you're like, "Oh, you force people with religion and everything." And I just sat there thinking to myself, "What on earth is he going on?" And I said to him, and there was like all other people in there as well. There was like two more guys in there, and they know I'm a Christian, and most of the folks in the gym know where I stand and what I believe in. So I'm there talking to this guy, and I said to him, "Mate, first of all, I'm not forcing you Christianity, or I'm not forcing you religion, but I'm sharing you what God has done in my life and something that I'm passionate about." And I said to him, "I don't force people to become a Christian, but I try to share with them what life can look like when you believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior." So I started talking to him, and he's just giving it all to me. He's just like I don't know, cursing and all that to me. And this is two other guys sat in there, and these two guys, they're backing me up, saying, like, "This guy is a Christian. And his life's changed, and because of God, his life has completely been transformed, and you've got no right to speak like that with him." And I'm just like sat there completely amazed and thanking God, saying, "God, thank you. Because when people see where you stand on, people will respect you. People will respect you. Not everyone will like you, but they will respect what you believe in. They will respect what you believe in." My second point is fight the good fight. It says in 1 Timothy 6 verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." In Nepali Bible it says, "Ek Timothy, chokobara." And Paul is writing to Timothy, saying, "Look, Timothy, look, whatever you will face in your life, you will face challenges, you will face struggles, but hold on to this advice. Fight the good fight of faith." In other words, never lose hope, never give up, always keep fighting, never give up. And sometimes, like when we face a lot of struggles and a lot of fights in our lives, it's just like takes the fight out of you. You become so much weary that you've got nothing left within you, and you cry out saying, "Oh, I've got nothing left. How much more should I take, God? I've got no strength left within me. I've got no energy left within me. The struggle is too much." I got to that stage a few months ago where the assignments were becoming a bit too much for me, and I got so much frustrated that I was ready to throw my towel. With Bible college, not with God. I was like, "God, this is too much. You've called me to Bible college. And I know, God, I need to stick it out. But this is just too much." And I, as I was typing, like, you would just get one of them patches where everything's going so smooth. Then you would just hold, and you would just, Martin knows what I'm talking about. And you would just like, you spend a day reading something and you've got 10 words. And you're like, "Oh my goodness, what is this all about? It's just too much." And I just got that close where I was ready to flip over my laptop. As a good Christian would do. Jesus flipped over the table. I was that close to flip over my laptop. And I had to just gather myself up, bring myself together. And I just went, God, I know I am weak. God, I know I can't do this. But I know, God, you can. I know, God, you can. It says in 2 Corinthians 2 of verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. So that Christ's power may rest on me. We live in a day of age where a man's strength is known by their ability and the amount of strength that they possess. But the word of God teaches us, when you are weak, you are made strong. Because when we rely completely on the Holy Spirit, when we rely completely on the one who created us and who saved us from our sin, our weaknesses suddenly become his strength. Our weaknesses suddenly become his weaknesses. No, sorry, his strength. His strength. Do you know, whenever you cook an egg, you can't just cook an egg unless you break the shell. Can you? If you're making an omelette, you need to break the shell. If you're making it boiled, you need to break the shell. So every time you're making egg, you need to break the shell. And most of the times, even in our own lives, we go through something and we feel like our world's falling apart and we're this close to breaking. And sometimes we break down. And when we break down, God picks us up and he gives us strength. His power is made perfect in our weakness. Third point. When we know that we can't, Jesus can. When we know we can't, Jesus can. When we get to that place where we know it's beyond our reach and beyond our ability, can I just encourage each one of us that Jesus can. Jesus can redeem us. Have we stuck in sin so much so that we think to ourselves, God, I can't get out now, God, I'm just stuck. God, there is no way out for me. I came this far, God, and now I'm going back. God, I've messed it. No. No. We can never be that deep sunk where God can't pull us out. Peter drowned. Jesus pulled him out. And when we drown in our sin, and when we drown in whatever things that we do, Jesus can deliver us. Jesus can bring us back to that place where we worship God freely. There's a story in Mark chapter 4 about Jesus and his disciples crossing over the sea to go to the other side. And the chapter opens with Jesus saying to his disciples, it's in Mark 4, Marcus chapter 35 matter. And Jesus says to his disciples, let us go to the other side. Let us go to the other side. And when they're on the boat, my goodness, there's a big storm. And like their boat's flipped over, you know, shaking everywhere. It's just horrendous. It's not a pleasant feeling. It's not a pleasant journey. I remember going to Guernsey and taking a ferry boat. And we got that from Bournemouth to Guernsey. And it was about two and a half hours journey. And whilst I was in that boat, me and some guys from Teen Challenge, we were in that boat. And my goodness, the journey wasn't pleasant. It wasn't pleasant. And there was a heavy storm. And like, when we walked in, everything was so nice. You know, it was like they had a little shopping center sort of thing there. And they had a little TV and everything there, a little bar there, a little food section there. And you could just go out and just see sun. And it was just lovely. But as our journey got in the middle of the sea, boat just began to shake. There was a heavy storm. And what started with a pleasant journey became very unpleasant. it became very unpleasant. And the boat was shaking and it was everywhere. And some of my mates, I was like holding on to my seat. I was like, oh God, this is too much. I was holding on to my seat. And some of my mates, it was too much for them. And they locked themselves in toilet throwing up. And all the way through the journey, they were in the toilet. And it was just horrible. And but we did get to the other side. We did get to Guernsey. And sometimes in his own life, we step on the boat with Jesus and everything's ever so well. Oh, I'm loving life. It's great. I love Jesus. Love you, Jesus. I love you with all my heart. Then boof, boat begins to shake. Oh my flipping days, where am I going? The boat begins to shake. It's up, down, everywhere, shaking together, everywhere. And you begin to doubt. You're like, God, this isn't very pleasant. I thought you get eternal life, abundant joy. This isn't abundant joy. And things are going everywhere. But let's not forget who's in the boat with us. Let's not forget who's in that boat with us. We are not alone. And Peter wasn't alone in that boat. Peter was with the others. The disciples, they were together. They were together. And can I just say, in our boat, it's not just me. I know we're together in this. I know we are together in this. And we will get to the other side. Whatever we might go through, we will get to the other side. If something happens to one of the bodies in here, I know the rest of the body's going to tag team. And walk with them to the other side. I know that. I know that. I believe that. And they're in the boat. And the disciples wake Jesus up. Teacher, don't you care? I'm guilty of that. Jesus, don't you care? I'm going through all of this. I don't know if you pray that prayer, but I pray that. Trust me, I pray that quite a lot of time. I pray that a lot of time. Jesus, don't you care? Jesus, don't you care? We pray that prayer quite a lot. Jesus gets up and he calms the storm. Quiet, be still, calms the storm. And today, whatever storm that is going in our life, family, problem with family, problem with finance, problem with work, problem with, I don't know, all sort of inward hurts that we're going through, problem with your insecurity, problem with your identity, problem with everything that we might go through, Jesus can heal. Jesus can calm our storms. He can. He can. Jesus uses the storm to make us strong. And Jesus also uses the storm so that we rely on him completely. Most of the time we get to that place where we think to ourselves, oh, I can do this now. This is easy peasy. I can do this on my own. But no, Jesus, and our boat shakes. We're like, oh, Jesus, no, I'm not ready. And Jesus is there for us. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Trinity in my days. Three in one. We've got the full Trinity there. And we can completely rely on God for all of these. We can. So I want to finish with this. Do not lose heart. What Paul said to the church in Corinth, do not lose heart. Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart. Paul's not just talking to the church, he's including himself. Therefore we, including everything that's inclusive Christianity, we will not lose heart. And today let's believe that we will not lose heart, because together we can. And that's including all of us and the Trinity. Together we can. Together we can. Many people, they leave because they lose heart. Many people leave Christianity because they lose heart. Something goes wrong. Both, they've got no one that will help them, support them physically. Spiritually, they've got Jesus. But physically, they've got no one that will support them, walk alongside them. Many people backslide. And they go their own ways. There's no one to encourage them. And let's be that community where we will encourage one another. where we see someone struggling, we will get alongside them. We will tell them, let's not lose heart. We can do this. We can do this. Amen? Regardless of situation, let's stick with the truth. Regardless of situation, let's fight the good fight. Regardless of whatever we go through and whatever situation we might face, Jesus can deliver, and He will deliver, and He has delivered. Amen? Amen. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for this wonderful day that You've given us, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for everything, Lord, that You've given us, Lord, and everything, Lord, that You've imparted within us lives, Lord. Lord, we have been through some storms in our lives, Lord. And I know, Lord, there's loads of storms awaiting us as well, Lord. But I believe, Lord, that together we can, Lord. Together, Lord, we will not lose heart, Lord. And together, Lord, we will stand on the truth, Lord. And I pray, O God, Lord, help us, Lord, and be with us, Lord, in everything that we go through, Lord. And, oh God, I pray, Lord, as we keep You and put You in the very center of our lives, Lord, I pray, oh God, Lord, that You will make us, Lord, mold us, Lord, into Your image, oh God, I pray, Lord. In the name of Jesus, oh God, I pray, Lord, that You fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill us afresh, oh God, I pray, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good word. Be encouraged. Amen. Stay in the boat. Stay in the boat where Jesus is. Stay in His presence. And you know, you will get to the other side. You know, they arrived at the other side. Even though they were afraid, they arrived at their destination. And you know, we're called, each and every one of us, and if we stay locked in with Jesus, we will arrive at that destination. We will fulfill our destiny that God has for each and every one of us. And sometimes the road may be a little rough, but that's okay. You may get a puncture on your journey, you know. There may be some issues, but God said He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He said, lo, I am with you always. Always is a long time. It's forever. And I just thank God that, you know, even when we stumble and when we fall, He's there for us. And He said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Keep praying, keep believing, keep thanking. Amen. There are some calendars still out there. If you want a calendar, it's got a prayer request on it. You put your prayer request, and then the other side is thanksgiving. When that has been answered, you give thanks to God. Hallelujah. It is good to give thanks, you know. And I bet when you got to the other side, you were thankful, weren't you? Oh, hallelujah. I know the feeling. I've been there once, and I was green, they tell me. Ooh, hallelujah. Only ever once ever been like that, and it's like, oh God, please get me to the other side, Lord, please. And I don't want to go to the toilet. Please, Lord, you know. And, oh, man. But God is good to us. Hallelujah. Pray for your children. Pray for the youth. Pray for everything that's happening at the moment. You know, God is doing something. And we need to get the notice board moved a little bit further forward. Grace was outside earlier on this afternoon when we came in. A lady came by and said, is it open? Is it? Are you having services? And she said, yeah. Oh, I'm going to see my family and we're going to come along. So a lady was interested. So we better get some bigger signs at the moment and get them out there. And then we can start planning a notice board move, mind you. What a notice board. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. But it will happen. Glory to God.